Hallelujah. Where would we be without that? Where would any of us be without the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen. Dead in sin and shame somewhere. Praise God, the blood is here tonight. Got a sermon I don't know if I want to preach, Brother John, but I've learned that's not what I'm interested in anyhow. Oh, that's right. Well, say it this way. I'm going to find out if you love me today or not. Amen. I'm going to find out if you really love the Word or not. Told you I kind of felt led a certain way. Well, here we are. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Proverbs 24. I do kind of have a part two for this, but I didn't want to, I don't know, I guess too late now, but we'll see Sunday. Kind of going a little different angle, but same line here. Hallelujah. Don't you just appreciate Him?
Amen.
When it's all said and done, just He's been so good to me. I cannot tell it all, isn't it right? That's right, Brother Roy. Amen. Do you have anything about Brother Warren? Is he just wore out from... I understand. What our brother up tonight. I don't know, after hearing what he's doing, I don't know if he'll have to hear this sermon, so it makes sense here in a minute. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. I'd like to take a title tonight of The Idol. That's I-D-L-E. The Idol Revival. The Idol Revival. Let's bow our heads together tonight. If you have a need down in your heart, say, Lord, you know what's down in there. I come to the house of God to receive from you the thing you promised. God bless each one. Pray your own way, and I'm going to lead in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for gathering us here tonight, that you've given deep down in our hearts, Lord, a desire to serve you. And for that, Lord, we're forever grateful. We know that the faith that we even have to believe in you was a gift from you, Lord. And we thank you for that tonight. Father, I pray that you'll come, Lord, that you'll discern our hearts, our lives, Lord, get past our flesh. Let's get down into who we really are, Father. And if there's blackness getting into our life, if sin's crept through the door, we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would come. Lord, that you'll speak through my lips, but God, go through every heart that's here. Lord, it's too late of a day. We're not here to play church. We're here to know that we're right with God. That, Lord, if you would come in the morning, we wouldn't have an ounce of fear, but we know we're going with you, Lord, by the grace of God. Help each Christian tonight. Let us check up, Lord, where we're at in the faith and say, Lord, am I being faithful? Am I doing what you call me to do? Or have I let down, Lord? And if I have, Father, I repent quickly and I'm coming back to you tonight. Lord Jesus, I know you're here. I know you've inspired me, Lord, to go this direction, even against my own natural will. But I pray that it'll bring fruit to your glory, Lord, in every heart that's here, that it'll be real Christianity living again in the last days. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, that we know it's an opportunity. Lord, one day they'll shut the doors, but praise God, tonight we can be in heavenly places with our brothers and sisters. Help us to redeem the time and to believe for all things tonight. You know the thoughts and intents of the heart, Lord. I pray you feed every soul that's here. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated tonight. The Idol Revival. And if you knew my title for Sunday, you'd see why it'll go with this. But some of you all might be here, some not. That's okay. I'll record it. And I'm recording tonight because you know what? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not a presuming type of preacher. I've met those that like to say, well, I think this means that and that. You all know I don't like that. If I can't show you in the Bible what I'm talking about, if I can't find a quote where Brother Branham said what I'm saying, I will tread softly on that ground. I'll let you know it's Brother Andrew's opinion. But tonight I don't have that. This is from the Lord. There's an idol revival going on in our churches these days. What does it mean to be idle? It means to be lazy. It means to slack on the job. It means to just be still and not busy about the Father's business. And the prophet of God says this in Be Certain of God, 1959. Listen closely. He said, if we would have had more men like Jehu, we'd have less Jezebels. But that was her nature. She was a worshiper of idolatry. And we think, oh, what a terrible thing that is, a worshiper of idolatry. Here's the God of Israel that they've seen signs and wonders after signs and wonders, and yet they've put up an idol and they're worshiping it instead. But be careful, Christian friend, that you don't have idols coming into your life. Amen. Especially us here in America, we're the laziest group of people on the planet. Amen. This inspiration's almost made me naturally sick to my stomach when I begin to think of this. Listen now. She brought the whole nation to idolatry, and so has our modern trend today. Falling away from the things of God has brought the world to one of the greatest idolatries that we have. That's idleness. Just idling around. Great is the iniquity of the people today. Idle around, and we look, and I'm going to go naturally and spiritually tonight because I feel led to do that. If you can't be man enough to get a job and to take care of a house and to do what you're supposed to as a man and forsake fleshly lust, forsake wants of the flesh to provide for a family, you say, I don't got a family. You provide for your family years before you get one. That's right. Too many men have indulged in themselves, and if you indulge, you're indulging in the flesh, and it's not acceptable before God. I've watched people can't sacrifice $5 for God. We're to the age now where if your flesh says it, you're supposed to do it. It's going to be hard, but I'm just going to preach anyhow. We've got money to eat out on Saturday, but ain't nobody got a dime for Sunday. We can go goof off and play around, whatever we want to do, but when it comes to using that same gas I was driving to come to church, I don't have it no more. It ain't just one or two. This is an epidemic in this message. And what do they tell you? It's not Brother Andrew. I don't need your money. I don't take the money. I don't have one dime from this church. My first year pastor, I tithe more than I ever took out. So don't ever get that idea that I care about the money. It's not mine. It's God's. Our time is not ours. It's God's. And what have we done with the grace of God? Look what we have here. You might think you're poor, but I think if you go with Brother Samson back to India for a week, you'd come back crying. Lord, forgive me. I've been so neglectful for how much you bless me. How many of you starving? How many of you had to miss a meal? Come on, you haven't. How many of you had a cold house, couldn't do nothing about it? How many didn't have anybody to back up on? There's plenty of Christians who don't. There's plenty of men who sacrificed those privileges because they cared more about souls, they cared more about their gospel than their own fleshly lust. Paul didn't have two coats, isn't that right? He said, Timothy, go get mine. It's almost winter. I'm going to be cold. In your Bible, I'm just going to turn there, just following the inspiration tonight. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. I'm telling you, I'm not presuming. I'm bringing it right out of the Word of God. And you better hear this as God's, or this will destroy your relationship with my ministry. I'll tell you that right now. Because this is a certain angle. I hate doing this. I hate it, brother, sister. Can I be honest with you tonight? As a pastor, do you know what the number one thing has stressed me out? Money in the church. How to handle the money in the church. When I think of missionaries that don't have the dime to their name, don't have the gas to go drive so they can get on a boat and go somewhere they got to walk to preach to souls because I'm spending on us being gluttons. You might not think that's a big deal because you're not responsible. I am. Every dime that comes to the church, you know it's mine. How many knows that? Yeah. Every tithe, everything comes to me. Everything I do with it, I am responsible for. Right. Am I trying to be a legalist and say we can never do that? No. But when I saw it here last month, I was asking Dad, we haven't given Brother Ernie an offering in a while because we don't have it. For 2 Thessalonians 3, turn there. Verse 8, neither do we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you that follow us. For even when we were with you, This we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And this is where I've gotten, brother, sister. I've realized I'm getting weary in well-doing. I'm getting tired of feeling convicted because if I see somebody. Let me just say it like this. If you ain't got faith to pay tithes, how can I have faith to give you money? If I see you spend it on something else, I know we all have hard times. Do you hear me tonight? I understand that. But when I say it, and I know it's indulgence, I know it's something that we shouldn't do, and some of it, you want to know what? I don't see it, but God shows it to me. And I say, God, I don't want to know these things. But remember what Brother Branham told that man who had discernment of spirit, isn't that right? He said, Brother Branham, I don't want to know this. He said, don't you never condemn that. That's God using you. And I've come through. I'm not afraid of, we've had demons right here in church. We've had people disrespect the house of God. That doesn't stress me because I'm under that anointing. I ain't afraid of nothing. But it's when you get out of that and you watch somebody that's using their time for something else and then you want to help them, but you're like, am I blessing what God has cursed? The Bible, Malachi 3, says if you don't pay tithes, you're under a curse. Am I supposed to just come over the top of that and bless right on top of a curse? Brother Branham, and look, I'm going to get to the spiritual. I hope you understand. This applies way more to the spiritual than just money. We can go right down to your time. How idle are we these days? People say, I'm too tired. Let me read you what Brother Branham said. And I've got a ton for this. He said, a wedding supper. And we're going to read that scripture here in a minute. He says, in 1956. Now, as soon as the invitation was given out, then the excuses was made.
That's right.
Oh, yes, one married a wife. The other one bought some oxen. You know the story. That's the way it is today. God made the supper ready. Sent the preacher to preach the faith.
That's right.
What happened? Oh, I can't go because I'm a deacon in another church. I just couldn't do that. Well, I couldn't go because I would lower my prestige. Your prestige? Then, oh, I couldn't go because I don't believe in them old holy rollers that's acting like that. I'm going to live my life. The excuses was made. Oh, it's too straight. I wouldn't want to do that. Excuse and say, well, I'm too tired when I come in at night. I can't go to church. That's excuses today. Oh, I'm afraid that husband wouldn't like it. I'm afraid my wife would kick me out of the house. She ought to kick you out if that's the kind of man you are. That's right. But there you are. Excuses made. Many of them we could name excuses. And that's all it is. When you begin to break down what excuses are, they are nestled and rattled in idleness. You want to be lazy, so you come up with excuses. Because I tell you what, if you got a reason, you ain't got to be ashamed to tell people why you miss church. You ain't got to be ashamed to tell the pastor, I'm not going to make it because I'm taking my wife to the hospital. That's something you can, I understand that. Amen, but I can't make because I'm too tired. Brother, sister, I don't know what it's like to not be tired anymore because I'm so busy anymore that I just learned to give it up. I'm going to rest in the millennium.
Amen.
Amen. There's too much to do now. There's too much on the line. There's too much idolatry of this idleness that it's making me, as a spiritual believer, sick to my stomach. Man, brother, what'd you eat yesterday? That's the point. It don't have nothing to do with that. Y'all going to come Sunday still? Now let me keep reading. Now the servant come back. Look, he sent the servant to go tell him the supper's ready. He sent the pastor. He sent the prophet. He sent these men to tell you the supper is ready. And I see it laying right here in the message. We're here 50 years after the prophet promised it. It's laying right here before us. Any day now, we'll be out of here, and yet we can't find time to pray. Yeah, we can't make it to church for some reason. Yet that we can make it to golf and goofing off and going on vacations, but when it comes to doing something for God, I ain't got time.
Right.
I'm too tired tonight.
Right.
Don't have a special service. I tried having a prayer service one time. I'll never do it again. I don't know unless God does something. Nobody showed up. Yeah, it got real quiet. That's right. Because that's a devil in your life.
Uh-huh.
If you can make it to the house of God, you get here. Don't expect God to bless over that if you know in your heart, I should be there, and you went over the top of that and said, no, I'm going to stay home. Don't expect God to bless because the conviction's on your heart. If you came to church just to be an idol worshiper, an idol worshiper. I could say I-D-O-L or I could say I-D-L-E. There is no difference. If you came here to just look at the wall, pass time because mommy and daddy said so or I have to or somebody else is going to get mad, you are worshiping an idol. But if you came because you love the Lord Jesus and you say, Satan, there's one thing you're going to know about me, that I'm on God's side. I'm not on the side of the world. I'm on the side of the message. I'm not afraid to stand up and say, I believe the word of God for this day with all my heart. And I'll give it my everything. Don't be halfway. You're wasting your time. Amen. I'll try to bring this around. Y'all know I love you, don't you? That's actually what's done it. I'll be honest. It's my natural love for you that's made me do things against my own conscience. Unfortunately, I have to know the finances around here. I have to know what's going on. And, you know, if you don't pay tithes, what am I supposed to do? Some of you might think the church is helping you. I'm just going to let you know real quick, just for the sake of getting conscious out of the way, Brother Andrew's giving you that, not the church. Because I couldn't consciously take what I knew was for the kingdom of God and use it for something else. You say, Brother Andrew, that's because God's blessed you. You have not been where I've been, brother, sister. And I haven't been where you are. I'm not here to compare. But when I was nothing but a Sunday school superintendent, I was going to college full time. I was going to every service. We had three a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I made it. I can't tell you one service I missed. My dad's a witness to that. I got there at 8 o'clock in Lima. 8 o'clock in the morning, I was there. Sorry, I left at 8. Got there at 9. Sunday school didn't start till 10. But I wanted to be there because I cared about the kingdom of God. Amen. We have church at noon and we show up late. Come on. Right. Amen. So, brother, I got this or that. Excuses. 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 You say, why are you hounding on this? Because if we can't get past our excuses, you can't serve God to the potential God has called you. Amen. Amen. Am I saying you're lost? No. Are works a means of salvation? No. But if you don't have the works of God in your life, you are not living pleasing to God. Amen. Saul was saved. Amen. Saul was anointed. Amen. But there came a day where Saul made excuses. And said, I would have killed them all, but, you know, that was Super Bowl. I would have killed them all, but, you know, I just didn't have time to pray that day. I'd have killed them all, but I can't fast no more. It's too hard to fast in this day. People believe that. You know, Jesus said when he's not, you know, he said when they asked Jesus, remember, he said, why don't your disciples fast? He said, as long as the bridegroom's with them, they won't fast. But the second the bridegroom take away, they will fast. And some people seem to think, well, you know, the Lord's shown up. No, he's shown up spiritually. Okay? And it didn't say if you fast. It said when you fast. When you fast. Go to your prayer closet. Don't make a show of things. Serve God because you love Him.
Right.
And I think we all can say, we'll be all right if we miss our meal or two. Maybe that'll give you that $10 you need for something for God. Amen. That's right. Did that faithfully for years. There at Bible Believers. Going to school full-time, 17 credit hours. I was a manager. I was working 50 hours a week. I know what it's like. I understand that. It's not easy. I'm not saying Laodicea is easy. It isn't. But greater is He that is in me, that is in every believer, than he that's in the world. And I'm just foolish enough to believe what the Bible said about it. I got no time to brag about how hard life is when I can see how great God is.
Amen.
I'm a full-time pastor. I'm a full-time minister. You understand these things. I understand you're busy. But who is more important? You know, most of y'all might know this. I'm moving this week. I've been progressively moving. I've had appointment after appointment to get things ready and all this stuff. And you know what? Too many message people, if they weren't pastors anyways, they would miss church because I'm just too busy tonight, brother. I got to get it done. You're saying, Brother Andrew, you're just doing that because you're the pastor. God is my witness. I'd be sitting right here if I wasn't.
Amen.
Anytime I've missed here is because I was going to see my wife's family or mine. That's it. Even my wife. How many members? My wife went to the hospital with preterm labor. Isn't that right? Sunday night. We got back Wednesday morning. Guess who was here at church? Your pastor was. Why? Am I trying to brag? No, I'm doing what the Bible says. I was an example unto you. I'm trying to show you that what I'm preaching, I believe in to the point I'll live it. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of God tonight. Let me read you some other scriptures. Well, one here and then I want to turn together. It says, it's Proverbs 26:13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion in the streets. What does that mean? Oh, something might go wrong, so there ain't no point in trying. People do that with church. People do that with services and feeling led of the Holy Spirit to do something. Oh, there might be a lion in the way. The devil might get there. I might as well just stay over here where it's at. Because if it was really God, then I would, you know, I'd be all right. I'd feel great. Well, you got to understand the devil's there too. That's right. But you got to remember, if God's leading me, it's according to His Word. Praise God. If you believe in the moving of the Spirit, I do. I've seen it and it works. Amen. I believe in the moving Spirit right here behind this pulpit or I would not be saying these things. Amen. Hallelujah. But there's a line in the street. It's too hard. And too many preachers are preaching Laodicea that way. It's too hard to overcome. You say, why can't we pray like we used to? And Brother Branham answered that. He said, it's not a revival time. What was he trying to say? It was easier to pray in the revival. I understand. He didn't say he stopped praying. Brother Branham did not make excuses. And when I began to look at the life of the prophet of God, I feel about this big. My goodness, you talk about it, and people think, well, you know, Brother Branham needed to take money and all this stuff. You know, he went 17 years working full-time and pastoring full-time. You know, Brother Warren's there working. I think of my generation, we're the laziest bunch of worthless scum. I'm talking about the world now. Thank God for His grace because we were the same. Amen. But you can't get them to get off the couch. You can't get them to write down a few numbers so you can pass them so they can graduate high school and go do something with themselves. Amen. I deal with it all the time. And most of my students will probably come here and testify that I care more about their grade than they do. Yep. Amen. Hallelujah. And God cares a lot more about us than our feelings. I'll tell you that right now. He cares a lot more about your soul that Satan's creeping in and defiling your experience and making you lazy, making you idle, making you depressed.
Sure.
That's right, brother, sister. That's all laid right there in idleness. You give me somebody that's diligent, somebody that's trying to work for something, that's got a goal. And you can look in the natural world. They've got goals, and they stay enthused, and it keeps them going and everything else. But see, as a church, we lose sight of what our goal is. Amen. You make it just sitting here, and you go back to idleness, and you wonder why you're depressed. You say, well, I can't lose no weight, snacking another Twinkie down, yep. Eating pizza, and I'm so depressed, I can't lose weight. Amen.
Amen.
You know what's the truth? Gluttony's in the Bible too. I hate to break it to you. It's laying in the pages. That's right. Amen. See, we've got to get away from this Laodicean spirit that is teaching you to indulge in your flesh. In all things. I'm not just trying to be a legalist. I mean all things. There's times where it's just easier just to lay down and look at the wall. I could pray, but, you know, whatever. It's idleness. I could read a book, but I'd rather scroll on Facebook. I mean, not just the book. I mean the book.
Right.
Amen. Or the message or something worthwhile. Amen.
Sure.
And there's times to meditate on God.
Amen.
Not times to meditate on something else.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, I think David said he stirred the fire, and or is it Solomon, one of the two? He said he was musing about the things of God and looking at the stars. That's fine to relax. There's times to do it, but be in the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. I'm trying my best. Praise God. The slothful men say it. There's a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. But he ain't got enough. Oh, it's right here. He says, as the door turneth upon the hinges, so does the slothful upon his bed. The slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. If you won't work, you shouldn't eat. Isn't that what the Bible said?
Amen.
That's right. Amen. I just come from a day where you had to do something to get something. But is that what we teach in this nation? Not at all. We teach now that if a rich man has money, come on now, it's greedy for him to want his money, his own money. It's greedy. But for you to say, the government should take his money and give it to me because I deserve it, that's not greed. So for a man to keep his own money has become greed, and for a man to want somebody else's money, it's not greed. You're just as greedy as anyone else in the world. And you know what? It doesn't matter how much you have or don't have. It's how content you are with the lot God has given you. But what does America teach? What does Laodicea teach? I don't care how much you make. The spirit of this age will try to get you to live up here to where you're so far buried in debt you never get out. Why? Because the devil knows better than we do that he will bury you in depression and stress. How many marriages break up because of financial trouble? Nearly all of them. It's involved somewhere. Amen. And if he can't get you on that side, he'll do like the rich young ruler. He'll give you so much that you forget about God too. That's right. It's a curse both ways. We talk about working and doing diligence and all those things. But you can go on the other end too and work so much for this world that you're doing nothing for the next one. Amen. But there's a middle of the road. Amen. I think if a man knows you're a Christian, you should be the guy that's on the job. You should be the guy that doesn't just call off because he's lazy. Amen. If somebody else calls off, I did it at a restaurant. Anybody's worked at one knows how that goes. If they know you'll show up, you're getting the call, buddy. And there's plenty of times I said, man, I could just sit here. But then the scripture comes back, work as unto the Lord. What if Jesus called me?
Amen.
And you know what? That's exactly what it is. Because that's the revelation of the scriptures. But if they tell me to work Wednesday and I'm coming to church, sorry. I got a higher Lord than that. Say, brother, you've been put there. Yes, I was. How many knows this? I've told you this. They offered me. They asked me to be a manager at Ponderosa. I said I will, but I ain't working one Sunday or I'm not working Sunday or Wednesday night. I'll work any other time. I don't care, but I'm not doing that. And then, you know what? I eventually lost my position because of that. Sure did. That's right. But I praise God because I almost thought about going into restaurant business. I'm sure glad tonight I didn't. Amen. Because it's pretty hard to pastor church working at a restaurant. That's pretty much second shift. And you're definitely working weekends, that's for sure.
Yep.
Amen.
Right.
Now, I got a teaching job, and I didn't just sit on my hands either. You all know that.
Right.
And you getting the right spirit off
yes.
me? I'm not bragging. I'm telling you, I believe in this. God has blessed me when I did the best I knew how, and when it fell apart, I didn't know what to do. He shows up.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Be faithful in what God has given you. He will bring it to more. But if you squander it, you blow it, and then you mooch off this, that, or the other, or whatever, it's a disgrace. Hallelujah. And here's the thing. I might not see it. You might not see it. Brother, whatever. But God does. People say, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, and you should be trembling. He knows you tried to make that person feel bad because you knew better. You're already convicted a long time ago, but you blew over that and tried to push that conviction on somebody else. Come on. All right. Praise the Lord. I love you. Amen. Thank you, Brother John. Luke 14. He said he loved me too. I know you all do. You know why that is? Because I'm a part of the Word. And you're a part of the Word, and we love the Word.
Amen.
It's cutting me up too, brother, sister. Trust me. You might not believe that, but it's the truth. I think of all the times, the minutes, the hours, the dollars I've spent on things that just had no profit, just wasted it. Amen. Amen. Luke 14, 16. Let's read that story that we were talking about earlier. It says, and he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Not all things will be ready. All things are ready now.
Amen.
Amen. And this servant was Brother Branham. All right? And that's who he was. He was the one that said, come, it's ready. Amen.
Amen.
And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must need go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Look, he didn't get condemned because he showed God about it. He didn't get condemned for preaching the truth, all right? Amen. Then the master of the house, being, you know, understanding, being sympathetic, and being angry. God understands. He does. He knows. I've blessed you. All of us could say, if we would be responsible, be honest, you would never have trouble.
Right.
Financially, spiritually, if you would be responsible with how much free time, come on now, how much money we have provided here. And some of us lower than others. I understand that. Praise God, He gives us enough. Yes, He does. Because He said, He's never seen the righteous forsaken or His seed begging bread. Amen. And He said, well, I had to beg this, I had to do that. You probably messed it up somewhere. Because God done gave it to you. Brother, sister, I've been down to a dollar before, but God was faithful to bring me out of it. Amen. Actually, less than a dollar, because I tallied it up before I went to camp that year. And I just remembered this too. I don't know if it was the same camp. It was one or other. I paid for another kid to go. I didn't even remember that. Why? Because I'm not interested in the money. I'm interested in serving the Lord. And I saw a young man that wanted to go but didn't have it. Maybe it was his fault. I don't know. But I felt led and I gave it down to my last dollar. Hallelujah. Where am I at? In the Word, that's all I want to be. Amen. So the servant came and showed his master these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto his servant, go into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now let's bring it to the spiritual. God has brought us a message in this day, and there are millions and millions and millions that have heard it, yet with one excuse. How hard is it? You all know this. You visit. How hard is it to find a faithful man, a faithful woman? Come on. Too many people living in a glare. I remember when Grandma used to pray, what about you?
Amen.
I remember when the saints of God, do we know those quotes? Brother Bram said, but what about you? God has no grandchildren. And I'm looking for this to be what the prophet said, the greatest time for the church ever. And if I can't find somebody that's been sending a message for 50 years to believe it, I'll go find some rank sinner too.
Amen.
The table will be filled.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we watch people hear it year after year after year. And too many ministers get wrapped up in those people. That's not what he said. He said, let them go. Would have been nice if Jeff Jenkins would have been let go a long time ago, wouldn't it have? Some brothers would have stood up and said, you ain't preaching the truth. Look, he didn't come out just last year. Come on. I could have showed you that 10 years ago. But what is it? Prestige. They're afraid. I don't want to lose my paycheck. Excuses for not standing for the truth. Do you understand? Just putting it out there, it's all right. I could have had much more invitations than I do now. Just starting this church put a black name on my ministry. You know why? Because I don't care. I don't care what men could do unto me or what they think. If God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. Amen. David had the same revelation. He was already anointed king, but he said, I'm going to do what God told me. And he went and he followed under Saul. That's right. He was faithful. He's not the one that sang the songs that got Saul jealous. It wasn't his fault. It was the masses around him. Saul, Saul, Saul has slain his thousands. But David, David is tens of thousands. And you can go look in the scripture. From that moment, Saul began to hate him. Why? Saul was a great man. And I'm actually reading right there in 1 Samuel right now. Yeah, I'm in 1 Samuel 12 right now. But it almost brought me to tears when I think of Saul being called and how he was a humble man. Remember, he didn't even want to go out there. He was hiding. It took the Spirit of the Lord to come say, he's hiding this stuff. Go get him. He was humble, but what began to happen? And like I said, you watch his victories. It almost brought me to tears to think, look at this man. This man served God. He went against, remember, there was the first time before he came king, officially before Israel, there was a whole bunch of people threatening him. All of a sudden, he raised up. And he said, kill a bunch of calves and stuff. Send it throughout the whole nation. Tell somebody, if they don't come follow me, they're going to be like that. That's a man that believes where he's standing. He believed in the calling that he had. Amen. But what tainted it? One thing. One thing. And I don't know what your one thing is, but if you let it in, forget the rest of it.
Amen.
Saul got to the battle. We know the story. I'm following inspiration now. I hope you understand that. He got to the battle. And remember, they had beat the Amalekites. That's right. And the commandment of the Lord was slay them all. That includes TV devils. That includes skipping church devils. That includes respecting persons devils. no praise. Devils, idol devils. Slay them all.
Amen.
And Saul just let those few live, didn't he? The best ones, the highest tithe payers, the highest, the most best singers and all these things. Oh, we know they live in sin, but that's okay. You know what? You used to need discernment, Brother Roy. Now you just got to get on the internet and you can find people that claim the message don't believe it. They don't. You tell me how a woman can skydive out of a plane and be modest. Seen it? Deacon's daughter. Right here in the message, probably a little closer to home than what you think, but it's the truth anyhow. I'm afraid to say it. Why? Because I don't hate those people. I don't hate any of you. I know I have no evil in my heart toward any person. You might think I'm being whatever, but I don't. I don't. I love people, but I stand for truth. And I would, if that man was trying to be a deacon in my church, I would already set him down a long time ago. Why? Because I don't believe in that. Why do you think I haven't picked somebody to be a deacon? Because if I don't see it, I ain't going to do it. Some of you have been divorced, remarried. You understand? I don't. You understand, praise God. But even if you haven't, if I don't see it until it's manifested, I don't do it. Amen. Why? Because it's not on your hands. It's on mine. Watchmen, watchmen, what of the night? What did Jeremiah, I think it was Jeremiah or Ezekiel. Ezekiel, isn't it? I can't, whatever. You understand, one of the prophets, he said, hey, watchmen, if you're watching and you warn a man of his sins, he does them anyways, I won't put his blood on your hand. But if you see it, you don't say nothing about it, and that man dies in a sin, because sin will kill you. I don't care where it is, it will kill you. He said, not only will he die in his sins, but I'll hold his blood accountable to you. And I want to be able to stand like Paul and say, I am free from the blood of all men because I've told you the whole gospel.
Amen.
I don't care if it's 2015. We ought to read our Bibles and pray every day.
Amen.
I don't care if it's 2015. We ought to know what this message is all about. Amen. And took it enough time to go read it.
Amen.
How about this Bible? I can't stand it. I don't know how many message people I met haven't even read the whole thing.
Amen.
They've been in the message 40, 50 years. Never read the whole thing. And I'm not bragging either, but I stopped counting at 10.
Right.
And that wasn't like being super diligent. You just read it every day.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't understand the Chronicles and I don't know these genealogies. Read the Bible. Yeah. Read it. You'd be surprised what God can show you out of that.
Amen.
And if you didn't see Jesus, go read it again.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I just love the Lord tonight. I'm just going to have a good time, no matter what my flesh wants to say about it. Hallelujah. All right, listen to this. God's provided a way. 1959, you're receiving from God tonight.
Yes.
Amen. And I don't believe that there has ever been a man or woman that's ever walked into a church or come into the presence of God without they were given an invitation to this supper. Now you can take it or you can turn it down. That's up to you. Some people go to church, listen to this, year after year, day after day, revival after revival, and still will not accept that invitation. They don't mean to turn it down, but they just neglect doing it.
Uh-huh.
Everybody gets saved tomorrow.
Yeah,
everybody got saved yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that most people's theology? Right? Well, I'm not going to go to hell. I'm not that bad. Oh, I guess you were saved yesterday. I know I'm bad, but one day I'll get right with God. Oh, you're getting saved tomorrow.
Right.
And you know what? Neither one of them saved.
Uh-huh.
Never will be saved because you've got the wrong attitude.
That's
why the Bible says you need a renewing of your mind. You need to repent. And repentance really deals with the mind. That's right. You need a change of mind before you can even recognize that you need God. Not that you want God, but that you need Him. And that without Him, you're nothing. You have no purpose. You have no goal. And too many people in the message have sat for years and years and years and years and wonder why they're depressed. You don't have Him.
Amen.
You don't have it, and that's why you can't get it, because you have nowhere to live,
right.
Nowhere to go, no destination. But
Amen.
For those of you that's received the Holy Ghost,
Amen.
You've got a purpose,
Amen.
You've got a goal,
Amen.
You've got a Lord, hallelujah, that loved you so much, He wouldn't let you stay idle. But every time you tried to get idle, you were burning in a fire, and you couldn't just sit there no more. It's the Holy Ghost in fire. Oh my, if you're sitting back here, isn't that right? Let's go over for me, Brother Roy.
Yeah.
We got a nice campfire there. We have a good time, right? Just sit here and relax, you know. It's really soothing. But go ahead and throw me in there one time. Woo! Oh, oh. Too many people looking on the outside in need to go ahead and get in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. And you understand why people shout and scream and speak in tongues and have a good time, even when they're going through the hardest trials of their life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Why? Cast out this idol revival and get the bride's revival. Because we've preached predestination to the point we've created this revival. We're all saved. Predestinated. Good to go. Got my ticket punched. So that means I lay on the couch and get the TV back. And if it ain't TV, I'll just swipe it over here. Y'all know that was pretty good when the Lord gave me that. You know, Brother Branham said that the devil done one over and put TV in the house. He's done one over in this day and put it right in your pocket. Praise God for a flip phone. Yes, sir. I can still out text any of y'all. Amen. That T9's great. Hallelujah. All right, listen now. They don't mean to turn it down. I'm not saying these people are evil. I'm not saying you're evil tonight. But I am saying that the devil's on a rampage. I am saying that we are susceptible to every spirit in this age, and we as diligent believers need to know that. And we need to recognize that your flesh is not your friend. He is your enemy. And when you begin to watch that, I'm going to be honest with you. When your flesh gets feeling real good, probably time to check up. You're probably lazy on the job somewhere. And I'll tell you one thing you need to do. Pray for your pastor. And if you run out of choices, Brother Kent, that one stays on the list. You hear me, brother? Pray for Brother Andrew. Did you notice one had something to do? He bought a piece of ground. The other one had bought some oxen, and he must go try them. Not like he wouldn't try the ox before he bought them. You see, it's just an excuse. And I know that all you ministers and so forth, and businessmen and track works and so forth, you find all those things. People's got excuses. And I've just got to stay home. I can't attend revival. Just remember, God said they do that. They're turning down their invitation. Now let's look at it again. At one, he did this. His wife wouldn't let him come, and that's another excuse. There should be nothing stand between us and that invitation. Amen. When? Okay, I come in, I'm saved, that's it. No, invitation to the Lord's Supper is an eternal invitation. It's an eternal supper. So every day you're invited to come. You're invited to sup with him. Amen. You got to make this choice to do that. You say, I can't. That's why God gave you the Holy Ghost. Now you can. Amen. Because you can't. But greater is he that's in me than this whole world combined.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Excuse me. There should be nothing stand between us in that invitation. If it cost us a yoke of oxen. Come on now. Let's say it like it is today. $1,000. Amen. Or our business. Or your wife. Or your children. Or anything. Nothing should separate us from that invitation. God's calling you to his harvest field to do something for him. There should be nothing stand between you and God. It must come first. What's it? Your commission from God. You've all been told to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. I've heard it the best way this way. Preach the gospel at all times and speak when necessary.
That's right.
Yep. Well, if I get $5, I want to make sure everybody knows about it. Oh, there goes your reward. Right. Done. So, Brother Andrew, didn't you do that in this service? No, sir. I didn't even scratch the service. Amen. Amen. And I think, and if you really want to break it down, think what God has done for us. Amen. Just think of that for a minute and you'll realize that we've all come far short. Talk about a man that lived for others. When he could have used his power, he was hungry. He was hungry in a day where food was life. He had the power, Sister Carolyn, to take fish and bread and multiply. How much of that did he eat? Does anybody see? I don't remember one time it saying Jesus ate any of that. That's right. I wonder if God give us the power of God, what we do with it. That might be why you don't have it. Amen. Talking to Brother Kent. Hope this is all right, brother. But he's saying, you know, how are we talking about that? You know, we want to see great signs and wonders, don't we? But do you understand a great sign and wonder meant that there was a great trial before it? What made Abraham having a son such a great miracle? It took 25 years to get here. What made the healing of Georgie Carter such an amazing thing? She was bedridden for 9 years. But see, she didn't take the attitude that most of us do, whining, complaining, bickering, idol. She gave God praise.
Amen.
Amen. She said, Brother Branham, you get here, I'm going to walk out well. Amen. Amen. And it's like Job, yeah, there's times where you get stressed out. I understand there's times where you're like, Lord, I can't handle this. But what happened when the presence of God got around Job?
Amen.
I've said wicked things. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to this. A second-handed robe, 1956. Oh my, we take a little thing from God and get all discouraged in an hour. But not Elisha. He looked forward to the time. He knew that it was close at hand, so he went to another place and said, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord's called me somewhere else. You just stay back here. But there's no staying back with Elisha. He had a revelation of what God was going to do.
Amen.
Amen. So if somebody said, just stay home tonight and look at the television, it's too bad to go out. Don't you worry. If you know the Lord Jesus is coming, oh, you're going to church regardless of what the weather looks like or anything. You're going to stay right there. For we're expecting something to happen at any time.
Amen.
That's when you begin to see revelation in people. And I love when somebody gets a revelation. Oh, it's just glorious, isn't it? Because you can't do it. I can't do it. I can preach it and preach it and preach it. But it takes you opening up your heart for God to be able to push that word into your heart. And once it does, I don't have to say it again. You'll do it every day.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. But what's the problem too many times? Let me just read this now. I'm going to try to wrap this up. I've got a big enough pulpit to hide behind the rest of this service. Jeremiah 24, 6 says this, for I have set my eyes upon thee for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. How many wants all that?
Amen.
For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. That's the problem. It's not intellectual. We all got revelation.
Right.
Intellectually. We all got the knowledge. We all got. But where's our heart at?
Right.
Jesus told you, wherever your heart is, there your treasure is also. So you watch what people treasure, what they value. And if it's money, that's an idol. If it's wasting time, that's an idol. Amen. And it's time to be like some of the kings of Judah and say, you know what? Smash them things and sweep them out of here.
Amen.
Oh, I just want to do it one day at a time. Just for keep the thing out of the door.
Yeah.
You show me where a progressive revival worked in the Bible. No, it was time dust clouds go everywhere and sweep it all out of here. Throw it in the water. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Desperations. Hallelujah. There may be men and women sitting here tonight that death's lying right before you. And the only way that you'll ever be able to achieve the thing that you're wanting is to desperately come. I must have it tonight. I get it now or I'm finished. Now he's talking naturally. Those people get healed. That's right. It's the same thing spiritually too.
Amen.
Well, this devil ain't too bad. You know, my prayer life's all right. You got to recognize what it is. And if you recognize how bad it really is, you won't need no preacher getting you to come up here and everything else. It'll begin to work on you.
That's right.
Brother Bram said, I don't believe in a dry confession. And I can say the same. I don't either. Amen. Say, well, do I have to cry? You understand what I mean. Well, Jesus, forgive me. Amen. I feel great. Praise God. No conviction. No. It should tear your heart. I hope you're getting tore up tonight and then built up in Him. I don't want you to leave out here. Just come back. How? With my whole heart. With everything. To where all my affections, all my love, all my care, surrounded in the presence of God. We could all say that that's our prayer. I don't care how long you've come along. Your prayers, Lord, just a little bit closer walk today.
Amen.
Now let me listen. I must have it tonight. I must get it or I'm finished. Tomorrow is too late. I must have it now. Are you listening?
Amen.
When you pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the token, don't say, well, now I'll go up and try. Lord, I'm a little tired. Oh, mercy, stay in your seat.
Yep.
Wow. People think I'm a hard preacher tonight. That's what everything I've said, you've heard it. I've read it to you.
Yeah.
People come out and say, well, I'll try. Oh, I'm kind of tired. He said, just stay in your seat. Oh, mercy, stay in your seat. Don't even make an attempt. If you come say, I'll pass through the prayer line, put oil on my head, I'll see if it does me any good. You might as well sit where you're at.
Yep.
until you get to that place, until the whole church gets to a place that it's between death and life, you've got to have it now or perish. Then God will move on the scene. It takes desperation to bring God on the scene. I understand we go on the quotes that we love and forget the ones we don't like. Isn't that right? I understand you can be sincerely wrong. I understand that Brother Branham said that the false church would have more zeal than the true church. I got that. But the true church is sincere.
Amen.
Amen. And if anything, that disgusts me because I'm married to Christ. And what would it be like for another man to show more love to my wife than I do? I don't praise that man. I feel rebuked for it because I'm the one that's supposed to do it. And that's when I think of Christ. If nobody will worship Him, if nobody will talk to Him, if He's sitting in every house with dirty feet because nobody cares, in my house, Lord, You can come right up here. You come right here in my heart, my life. I don't care. Tear me up. Kick my computer out. Kick my life apart. It doesn't matter to me because I love You.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus.
I want a bride's revival, not an idol revival.
Amen.
Now are you saved, though? You got the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Amen. Then you can apply what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Idleness will get in your life. But if you're not even saved, you can't work up salvation. Have I said that down hard yet? But the bride will not lay down here in Luther's age.
No way.
Down here at the bottom, can't do nothing for God. Got to still smoke a pipe and cuss and everything else. And won't live, you know, and still watch. Look, we're regressed all the way past Luther's day.
Yeah.
That's right. They at least believe God.
Right.
Luther had all nine spiritual gifts happen.
Yeah, that's right.
He said, but he didn't say it because the people would go after the gift instead of the giver. That's where Brother Graham gets that from. Martin Luther. Some of us stuck in sanctification don't think that the power of God even exists anymore. And we don't even get to sanctification no more. We can't get the TVs out.
Right.
Come on.
Right,
and you know what will happen? You'll feel it here. That's right. You know the presence of God's here.
Yeah.
You'll feel convicted here. What will happen? Devil's right there waiting.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. He's saying, Brother Andrew, don't. It's all right. You can still have it. Believe what you want. But the Brother Branham said, shoot it with a shotgun.
Yeah.
That's right. It's one thing to have. Why do I got to bounce it out? No, some of you just need to get rid of it.
Right.
I'm just kidding. I don't want to give the devil any leeway. Some of you need to get rid of it. Some of you probably need to kick your internet off. Say, Lord, help me too. You ever felt that way sitting there, wasting time? See the Bible laying there? We need to get a revelation that that's not a word. That's just letters. That's Jesus sitting there. And I'm just, you know. But even just each other. Can we live for each other for God? How many times your kids, you're getting on them because they're acting up, when really, what do they want? They want you to pay attention to them. They want you to pay. You know what? You've been called to do that, brother, sister, if you're a father or a mother. That's your calling in God. Now, you got to do it as unto the Lord. God don't accept a grudging giver. Hear me now. A cheerful giver. If you've got to force and twist yourself, you need to get born again. I'm serious. Brother Bram says the same thing. You'll find the quote. But if you got to force yourself, you ain't got it yet. He said a lot of Methodists were that way. They'd say, well, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd tear him up. He said, that ain't right at all. You need to get that out of your heart.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to read one of these quotes that I've quoted here quite a few times. But I am the pastor, so I think this fits. As the eagle stirs up her nest, 1960, I haven't got much hopes for a pastor's church that hasn't got ambitions to better themselves day by day and year by year. A church that's really a church of the living God will never stop and say, well, I just come in. I guess it's all right now. That ain't the church of God.
Amen.
He's got an ambition to press on. Well, I've done my part. I brought one sinner in this year. You know, there's plenty of people in this message who can't even say that. They've never been able to testify to anybody. Come on. I know you'll get 100 rejections before you find a real one, but life travels through life.
Amen.
And even if they reject you, there's one thing they should be able to say, that person's got a life of God in them.
Amen.
If there's a real Christian anywhere, it's that brother, it's that sister, it's that, amen. It's that child, amen. Well, I've done my part. I brought one sinner in this year and he got saved. Brother, that's not the ambition of the church of God. If he brings one, he wants another, 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 another. There's no end to it. Your goal is not in this life. Your goal is in the world to come.
Amen.
Amen. It just keeps on climbing up. See, we want to have an ambition and expectations. God wants us to be that way. And I think any Christian will be honest and say, Lord, I want to be that way. I don't want to be the Christian that you got to sit there with a cattle prod and just poke me every day to get doing anything and force me to the issue and get me so sick as a dog I finally decide to pray and break me financially so much that I'll say, you know what, Lord, I you're right, I ain't serving you right, and make me get, you understand, those things happen for a reason.
Amen.
There's plenty of us gone through trials just because God was testing us. Amen. But I would say too many times it's because I'm going to say it like this. I saw a picture one time that said, there's reasons for everything in life, and sometimes the reason is you're stupid and you make bad decisions. And I can say amen to that. There's plenty of time I said, Lord, you didn't have nothing to do with this one. I sure took care of this and made a big old mess. But God is so faithful. God is so faithful. If you'll do what Jeremiah said in return with your whole heart, no excuses. That's the problem. No excuses. No whitewashing. You can't be embarrassed of what you were. You've got to be honest or God will never move on the scene. Amen. But if you will, He's right there.
Yes, He is.
He wants you delivered. He wants you blessed. He wants to prosper you. Amen.
That's right.
And even in this life, I believe that.
Yes, amen.
Maybe not the richest man, but like he's told David, I've given you a name like the great men of the earth.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus said, you know, Peter thought, hey, we've forsaken all. We've given up father, mother, houses, and lands for you, Jesus. He thought he was doing pretty good. And Jesus said, look, boy, there ain't nobody but give up anything for the kingdom of God. But that I'll return 100-fold.
Amen.
And on top of that, just to put the icing on the cake, I'll give you everlasting life.
Amen.
You can't outgive God.
Right.
My goodness. And if you've got that attitude, you say it's too hard, it's too high, you need a revelation tonight.
Amen.
You need a revelation of the grace of God. Because if you receive the grace of God, you'll give the grace of God.
Amen.
Why did I go to school to get my master's, brother, sister? So I can get up here and say I'm smarter than y'all? I can get up and say, here, I'm the only preacher in the message around here who's got a master's degree. And nothing to do with it, brother, sister. I wanted to make more to give more. I wanted to have it so that the church didn't have to pay for anything of mine ever. And you know what? I'm just going to have to just lay it out there tonight. You know, Dad has, and I'm sorry to embarrass you, Dad. Dad has had to force me to take money at times. Because you know why? Because I would get a complex. Just going to be human with you. I put a lot of time into this. I sure do. I don't just come up with this, Brother Roy. I pray about these things. I study about this. And the Bible does say a workman's worthy of his hire.
Right.
And Dad, and I ain't talking thousands of dollars by no means. I'm talking just enough for me to feel like somebody cares, I guess. I don't know. But I sure appreciate that.
Yeah.
Amen. And I appreciate y'all giving to the ministry and things. I do with all my heart. When people come and all they got is their tithe and they throw another five in there, I think God looks down and He sees that widow woman all over again. He says, praise God for those two mites. He said, you gave more than all the rest of these. Why? Because you gave it with all heart.
Yes.
And she didn't make sure. I've had people come up to me and say, did you see I put tithes in there today? Get out of this church. Seriously, what is that? Now, you wouldn't be surprised if I told you who that was, but... Anyway, if you're doing it for that, don't give it. Don't. Why? You're just a hypocrite, and I don't need it. God don't need that. He don't need our hypocrisy. He wants our heart.
Amen.
He wants a real relationship with us. He wants us to obey Him purely because He said so. Even when it comes to tithes, what does it say in Malachi 3? Oh, yeah, it says you're cursed if you don't get it. What does it say if you do? I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you can't contain. But if you can't get through that trial of faith, you'll never get to the blessings of God. Hallelujah. Let me read this in closing. It's from a quote a little bit earlier. I didn't finish it. Let me finish it now. Now the servant came back and said, Lord, that was done for Lutheran down to Wesley age. All kinds of excuses made. Oh, well, we got other things to do. But then when the servant come back and said, I've done all this, and they got all excuses. Watch what he said to the preacher now. Supper's already fixed. Amen. It's already past time. Said, I want you to give the supper call now. Leave them alone. They won't come anyhow. That's what I was talking about, preachers going after these people that don't really believe the message. Let them go.
Right.
And invest in those that do.
Amen.
Instead of letting them feel like they don't.
Right.
Nobody loves them or cares about them. Amen. It's a shame. I've been to four or five message churches now. I've never had one pastor come to my house, ever. It's a shame. You say, oh, boo-hoo. You don't. No, I'm talking one time. If I go to church for 5 years, you ought to be at my house at least once. That old legalist, Brother Andrew, I'll tell you what, believes the quotes. And all. But go out, let me back up here. He said, say, I want to give a supper call now. Leave them alone. They won't come anyhow. But go out and start a healing campaign. Bring in the lame, the blind, the halt. Everybody hollers today about healing campaigns to get a crowd. What's the matter with you, preacher? That's the light of the Bible. That's right. Go get the lame and the halt. That's the last call before the coming of the Lord, according to the Bible. What's happened in our day, brother, sister, this healing revival? What was it? It was God's last call. Amen. Go get the lame and the halt. That's the last call before the coming of the Lord, according to the Bible. Go out and call a healing campaign. Miracles and signs and wonders will be done. Bring them in because I'm going to have my table set full. Amen. I've made it. I've killed my fatlings. I'm going to have a real supper. And you're going to go out and bring in the lame and the halt, the blind, the afflicted. Brother, that's a meal call. Divine healing is the program of today. That's God's last call is divine healing. And these fellows that wouldn't accept it and sit back there with their big old dry theology tries to say that we put divine healing in the paper to get a crowd. Jesus said so. Amen. Oh, that would make a Baptist shout if he had the same thing. That's right. Divine healing is the order of the day. So what are we saying all this for? Why are we saying idol revival? You all know this is in the message. Come on. You all know there's plenty of people who ain't said amen in a church in 50 years. They might give you a nod once or twice a year. And you know what? Preachers see these things. Yep. You know what? I have to look at you. Right. He said that right when he looked at me. I got to look at somebody. Actually, I realized that there was a one service here where it did snow pretty good. And Dad and I were the only ones here. And nobody's sitting over here. And I had a hard time, Brother Roy. I didn't realize how much I look at people. I'm like, what? I don't know. I'll just keep looking over this way. Amen. But you say, Brother Andrew, why'd you do that? Because I recorded that service. And you know what? If it was just Dad here, I'm not too big a man to be like Brother Branham and received his invitation. And we forget these stories, don't we? He preached to one family. By the time that revival was done, he said you couldn't even get him in the building. But what if he would have bypassed that day of trial? That's what it was. It was God testing him. Will you be faithful to the call? I wonder how many times God's led you. Don't buy that. Wait a minute. Is it that simple? It's that simple. Don't drive there, save it for Sunday. Don't do this, save that for this brother. And you think that you're sacrificing, but just give it to God one time. I'm telling you. You give it to Him, He sees it. Who else do you want to see something that you did besides Him? And remember what He said, if you do it in open, you receive your reward. If you purpose that now somebody else might see you do something, that's fine. But if you purpose that people need to see me do this, you're done. You don't get nothing from God. And that comes not just money now, but your prayers. Yes. Brother, I prayed for you for 2 hours yesterday. Well, you're probably not getting nothing out of that. Praise God, I will. But because I believe that. But if you're trying to show, some people do show off spiritually sometimes. But a lot of us don't really have anything to say. People get all whatever sometimes, get a religious spirit in a fellowship and say, man, nobody here talks about this, that, or the other thing. So, well, go ahead and start. Yep. Nobody talks about things of God. Well, do you have anything to share? Well, I mean, my boss is mean, and I hate my job, and my wife's mean to me all the time. Well, I guess you don't have nothing, so why you complain about everybody else? Religious spirit. That's right. You know what? If I would preach about every sin but what you do, you'd feel pretty good tonight. And you know what? Sinners would feel pretty good. Actually, they do. Nominal Christians, as long as you preach on what they don't do, oh, they're all for it. Everybody loves a hard preacher. Oh, yeah, they do. If you get a church that doesn't believe in homosexuality, you can drill it all day. They'll shout and scream on the aisles. We tell you, women quit cutting their hair, shut you down. Yeah. Too many mess churches, if you say that, they'll shut you down. Yeah. Too many mess churches, if you say the prophet said you ought to be here every day, the doors are open, or if you got any love of God in your heart.
Right.
No, you can't preach that. I got to miss. I got to do this, that, or the other thing. Well, I read that in the Bible. I don't want to be that. If I'm a halt, lame, whatever, I don't care. I'm coming.
Amen.
Think about that. Look who he called, the halt, the lame, those that had to struggle to get there. But what was it? God was getting desperate.
Amen.
I know God got desperate when he saved me, Brother Roy. He was going to the bottom of the barrel, but I'm so happy he did. And if he would bring me to his table, I'm trying to stop. I know it's a midweek. Can you give me a little bit? I didn't mean to go this long. There was once. Remember David? Saul's dead. Jonathan was dead. There was one other son left. How many remembers this? Mephibosheth. He was lame on his feet. Wasn't he? He couldn't even walk because his mother. I think the maid dropped him. That's right. And David said, "Is there anything left of the house of Saul that I might do kindness to him?" You know, David was always trying to do that. He brought Abner in, that was Saul's cousin, to try to bring liberty. He brought his son in, Ishbosheth, that's why he calls Joab and all his brothers a bunch of bloody men. He said, "You're killing everything I'm trying to do around here." That's right. He said, but he found one more. And what was he? He was a lame man. Couldn't even walk on his own. He said, "Go get him." What did he think? He thought he was going to die. He thought it was over. You know what he did? He didn't just save him, Brother Kent. He picked him up and said, "Bring him over here. Put him right here at my table. Push him in." Why? Now you don't know he's lame. His feet are under the table. He's equal with everyone else. Hallelujah. God did that with a prophet one time. We had 12 apostles, thought they knew what they were doing. God sent him a Paul. Broken leg, but he put him under there and said, "He's an apostle like all the rest of you. Hey, you know what? He's actually got more revelation than you guys." That's what happened with Brother Branham. Remember, Pentecost started before, right when he was born, right around there. Amen. Here's this guy going to teach us what the Word's all about. He's not even a teacher. You go watch the histories. They loved him until he started teaching. Yeah. They said, "Oh, he got out of his calling. He's not called to be a preacher or a teacher. He's called to be a prophet, and a prophet is a divine interpreter of the Word." Amen. And you show me anybody else who had his vindication. But the same man, listen now. I'm going to close on this. The same man that could turn his back in the power of God to discern hearts. The same man that could see cancer healed right in front of you. Goiters fall out. Is the same man that when, remember, the man was going to be disrespected, they weren't going to let him on the pulpit because he was a oneness and they were all Trinitarians. He said, "If you don't want that brother up there, I ain't going." Amen. When somebody got healed and said, "Brother Branham, here's $1 million. He said, "Tear it up. I don't want it." That's why God could trust that man. He could have had fame, prestige, could have been whatever he wanted to be in life. And had God not intervened, he would have. He'd have been a murderer by the time he was a teenager. That's right. He'd have committed suicide shortly thereafter when his wife died. Amen. He said, "I would have ran off and bit a guide somewhere else and never even got to the SEALs." Why did God do that over and over and over again?
Amen.
It wasn't for us to have an idol revival.
Amen.
It was for us to become the bride of Christ, the final voice to the final age. Let's stand together tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can you just worship
Jesus.
Him? Hallelujah.
Praise
Jesus.
God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Do you know "Let the Book Live in Me, Dear Lord"? It's 5:13. I feel like I just heard it here recent. Just worship Him. That's fine. Praise His name tonight. I trust you've heard from God.
Amen.
Hope you brought the Word and said, "Lord, I open my heart," and just right in there, "Lord, just push out all that ungodliness out of me. I'm not here to follow a man. I'm here to follow you, Lord."
Amen. Let the book live in me, dear Lord. Thy words,
5:13 if you don't know it.
Show me myself and show me my Savior and let the book live in me.
Sing in me. Yes, Lord.
Show me my Savior and
I think we got it now. Let's worship Him. Make it our prayer tonight. Lord, let the Word live in me.
Oh, let the book live in me.
Worship Him now.
Dear Lord, show me myself within Thy. Savior, and let the book live in me.
Sing real slow here. Coming home, just a little
bit. Coming home.
Cold. Let it warm up to the presence of God. He said, but it'll expose what I've done wrong. That's good. And you know what it'll do? Not just expose it to embarrass you. It'll expose it into the blood. And it'll be gone forever. If you know in your heart, say, Lord, you know. I'm not worried about Brother Andrew. I'm not worried about my neighbor. Everyone bow your head. It doesn't matter. They're not my judge. You are. And I know you saw what I did. You know what I said. You know all those things. And say, Lord, from the depths of my soul, be desperate now. Be sincere. Lord, I'm sorry. Is there anyone who would say that's me, Lord? God bless you. Look at that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why we raise our hands. Now put faith at your surrender. Put it all up there. All, just forget about everything else. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Been a wretch. It might have just been today, but you know what? Get right with God. Hallelujah. It might be a whole lifestyle. Say, then, Father, change me. Change me. There's something wrong in my experience. I let down the bar so easy. I just go right back every day, back to the swing of the world. Don't let the devil do that to you. Don't get so busy that you're too busy for him. Don't get so lazy that you can't give him time. What's God calling the bride to? A consecrated life. A life that's not a lifestyle even, brother, sister, but your life. You live to live for him. Jesus. You love your wife to love the Lord. You love your children to love the Lord. You love your coworkers because you love the Lord. You do a good job because you love the Lord. You come to church because you love the Lord. You sacrifice so you can come because you love the Lord. You put your foot down when the devil puts you in a corner. He will. I warn you, Christian friend, don't think it's going to get easier when you put a stand for God. The devil will put you right in a corner and make you deny the thing you said that God was leading you to do. Oh, yes, he will. You got to resist that thing. If you've indulged just in your flesh, there's blood tonight. I believe there's still an atonement all throughout here. Hallelujah. Just muster enough sincerity, enough faith to reach up and let that word that's right here in the building drop into you. And where it was dark, it becomes light. Hallelujah. God is faithful to hear your prayers. He's heard you for healing. How much more will he hear you for deliverance? Amen. You've got to believe it now. You've got to believe it with all your heart. And the main thing you got to do is quit loving that wicked thing. Don't put any love. Don't even worry about any attachments to it. It is worth nothing to you. Hallelujah. It'll fall apart before you even realize what you had. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pray your own way. Don't be religious. Don't worry about somebody else. You talk to him about it. Say, well, Brother Andrew said this, then I get right. Don't you wait on that. He knows what's in your heart. And if you've made it right, you've got to believe that. When did Paul said he died? Daily. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, your flesh will tell you not to go to church. Your flesh will tell you not to pray. Your flesh will say it's too hard to read your Bible. It's too hard to understand the message. It'll tell you all, you're a woman, you can't get revelation. The devil will tell you all kinds of lies like that. Hallelujah. But you got to dismiss all of those things. Say, Jesus, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. There wasn't somebody that come to you with a sincere heart, but what received what they needed. Some people didn't even know what their need was, but God still gave it to them. There was a woman at the well. She didn't know what her need was. She thought she needed some water. But God saw her heart and saw that deep down she believes. She was in prostitution. I don't think none of y'all that bad right now. But you know what? Jesus gave her the word. And it didn't create idleness. It created a revival. Amen. Say, I'm not too big. Well, get a big God in you. You become big for the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. In the congregation now, because I just feel that. I believe you can receive them. You have before. Are you afflicted at all? Are you afflicted by the enemy? Hallelujah. Is there anyone who said, Lord, I'm hurting? Would you raise that to him now? Now with faith and say, Lord, I accept my healing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, brother. Receive it now. That's the bride's revival. That's what we're talking about. People that believe the word. And you begin to feel the sweetness of the Spirit drop down right when you started doing that. Why? Because this isn't a make-believe. This is God. We're coming home, Lord. And we begin to come home with our whole hearts. Then all of a sudden our lands become blessed. What is that? Our bodies, hallelujah, become subject to the power of God. To where the flesh wants to do it, but we got power to tell it no. Hallelujah. Your body might tell you you're too tired tonight. Don't worry about that. Praise Him. Amen. Praise Him. Amen. Hallelujah. I've never seen God fail. If you just worship Him the way you feel led, you'll be all right in the morning. Yes, you will. Just give Him glory. Give Him all your heart tonight. Don't worry about any of your trials. Don't worry about any of your temptations. Say, Lord, thank you for molding me the way I need to be. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's sing Coming Home again. You at the beginning? Home. Coming.